Hi, I'm Paul Johnson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Life Support.
Well, as you know, when you are in the, I call it the grief pit because that's the best way for me to describe it.
It's and a good
I've
term.
Been, yeah. And I've been down, you're in the depths, you know, you can hardly, you're in the mud, you maybe have one nostril, you know, surviving. You can hardly breathe. And there was a while where I lived there almost comfortably. In fact, I kind of ordered curtains for the windows that were non-existent. I mean, I was there. I was kind of living there. And it was several times in my life I've been there. I do suffer from depression. I am treated for that. And I realized that I was missing out on providing the love that God had shown me to the others in my life, because it's really hard to show love when you're way down in the pit. It's hard to do that.
Kim Harms has been a previous guest on Life Support and now returns to tell more of her remarkable story of grief, loss, and overcoming, and also to talk about the new book she's authored on how to leave a godly legacy. Welcome to Life Support.
Everything you do from then on is different.
One of the detectives, I think his name was
Derek. He was a golden boy.
And all we can do right now, come
extreme
together.
Domestic violence, multiple rapes.
Welcome to Life Support. We're so glad to have you with us. What we do on this show is we tell stories, and some of the stories are hard to tell because they deal with suffering, they deal with trauma. But the idea is to introduce Jesus into the equation and really understand how he is redemptive and how you can live your life with joy knowing that Christ is with you. And my guest again today, we talked about this last time, but we're going to talk about it some more. Dr. Kimberly Harms is with us. She's written a book called Are You Ready? How to Build a Legacy to Die For. And welcome back. It's so good to have you again.
It's good to be back.
We talked about the book some last time. We talked about your personal story, which is a hard story. You've lost family members to suicide. You lost your husband not that long ago to an illness. And then you wrote this book, and it talks about legacy. And well, we as Christians don't talk about legacy very often. We want to talk about getting people saved and all that, which is great. What do you mean by legacy?
Well, your legacy is what you leave with every encounter you have with every person. And we, the best legacy, of course, because God tells us our purpose in life is to glorify him. Of course, the best legacy you can leave is to help people come to Christ. And many times you can do that by your example as well. And so when I talk about legacy, I talk about what you're leaving behind. What are you leaving with your encounters with people? And I'm a grandmother. I have six grandchildren. And I really wanted to really sit down and seriously look at what legacy am I leaving to my grandchildren.
Yeah. And there you've got several different kinds of legacies here described in the book. I remember when I was living in Arizona, and one of the men that went to our church was oversaw the Air Force base there, and he got a brain tumor. So his wife would enlist people from the church to come and sit with them and read scripture to him and so forth. And it was an honor to do that. And one day he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Paul, I'm asking different men to help me with my legacy." I said, "Okay." And he said, "Would you do something for me?" And of course, yeah, sure. What do you want? What do you need? He said, "I want you this year to pray about leading one man to Christ and discipling him to maturity in Christ. That's what I'm asking all the men around me to do." That's how you leave a legacy, right? Mm-hmm. And so what are the legacies that you describe in your book? And what is important to you?
Well, when the book is dedicated really to the legacy that I received from my mother, my son, and my husband. Now, my mother was bipolar. She was mentally ill, but she led me to God. She told me to trust in God in all things. She left the greatest legacy ever, and she left a big legacy of love to me. My son left similar legacies to me and to his classmates. He was a student at Columbia University, and they did a memorial service for them, and they actually have a memorial to him, a memorial shad bush. It's permanent there. And they talked about how he would He was the guy that would hug everybody. He was all around campus. He was this happy guy, and he was a Christian guy. And my husband left a legacy to me after 44 years of marriage of love and support, and I became who I am because I had that love and support for so many years. So the book is really based upon their legacy to me as I'm trying to then transfer my legacy to others. I had probably one of the just an amazing situation in my life where I've come across some amazing people, and God just put them in my life. One of those times was right after my son Eric died. And anybody that has lost a child, and you know how that is, especially to circumstances like murder or suicide,
that
complicates things. And then, of course, I had my mother's death that I was also grieving altogether. I was in a very, very, very bad place, and I was crying out to God every day to just kind of save me from the pit. And I started to run into people from Rwanda. Now, Rwanda, as you know, had a terrible genocide in 1994, where one part of the population was trying to wipe out the other. The Hutus and were trying to wipe out the Tutsis, and it was a horrific situation of just murder. It wasn't an invading army coming in. It was your next door neighbor and the people that you spent some of your life with, people you thought were friends, and it was just this horrific, unbelievable situation that occurred in 1994. When that happened, I was raising my children, and I listened to it. I was horrified, as was the rest of the world, but I didn't really think much about it later. But here I am after Eric died. I sat at a prayer breakfast next to a woman who had lost her two children in the genocide and her husband. And she was telling me the story, and I was just horrified. But then she said, well, now I have a new husband, and I've adopted new children. She took in an orphans after the genocide. And now I'm living a new life according to God's will. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm mourning the loss of one child. How in the world could this woman survive the loss of her whole family? Then a couple of days later, someone gave me the book Left to Tell by Immaculee Ilibigazi. It's a story about she was saved by a pastor in a bathroom with eight other women as the murderers were running around her. Amazing story. And then a few weeks later, I was having lunch with a friend of mine who was on the board of Books for Africa. And she said, you know, I visited Rwanda before the genocide, and I've always wanted to build a library there. Let's build one as a memorial to Eric. And I thought, oh, yes, that would be wonderful. And God just kept putting Rwanda on my heart. And before I knew it, about a year later, we went there to deliver seven libraries. And I found people who had survived the most horrific thing we could even imagine. The entire family's wiped out. Some women had survived but were raped and given AIDS, kind of that's part of the warfare. Some of them had children by the rapist who had given them AIDS. And just each of these people going more down into the depths of what I think would be horror than I could imagine. Yet, they were joyful. They were dancing. They were singing. And they embraced me as someone who had lost a child. I was like one of the bunch right away.
Mm-hmm.
They showed me so much love. And I realized that love is the greatest legacy we could ever leave, and they were the experts in that. And that's kind of probably the beginning of my thinking about legacy with these libraries. We now have 65 libraries all over the country.
Oh, good for you.
50,000 books. So, but, you know, we can all leave a legacy, even those that are mentally ill, you know, even those that die at 19. We can leave a legacy of love because Christ gave us that ability.
Reminds me of the apostles. When they're talking about, hey, we're feeling honored to be beaten. You know, we feel fortunate to be the ones who are giving ourselves for the gospel. But how do you differentiate between good grief, let's call it that for lack of a better term, that is going to be there whether you want it to be or not? You don't want to just shove it off. You want to deal with it, right? And grief then that becomes what you don't want to have. How do you differentiate? Because I have a hard time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to just bury the grief. At the same time, I don't want it to be a part of my life every minute of every day.
Well, as you know, when you are in the, I call it the grief pit because that's the best way for me to describe it.
It's and a good term. Yeah.
And I've been down, you're in the depths, you know, you can hardly, you're in the mud, you maybe have one nostril, you know, surviving. You can hardly breathe. And there was a while where I lived there almost comfortably. Mm-hmm. In fact, I kind of ordered curtains for the windows that were non-existent. I mean, I was there. I was kind of living there. And it was several times in my life I've been there. I do suffer from depression. I am treated for that. And I realized that I was missing out on providing the love that God had shown me to the others in my life, because it's really hard to show love when you're way down in the pit. It's hard to do that.
Pastor Paul will be back with Kim Harms in just a moment. Kim has detailed a lot of her story of grief and family loss. Hers and other stories are part of a site called lifesupportresources.org. One-to-one care videos and small group, story-based curriculums about many topics surrounding trauma and grief and loss. That's lifesupportresources.org. And now back to Pastor Paul.
And I realized that I was missing out on providing the love that God had shown me to the others in my life, because it's really hard to show love when you're way down in the pit. It's hard to do that. You can do it, certainly, but it's hard to show love and also the joy of the Lord. How do I find the joy of the Lord? That would seem like a crazy verse to me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm like,
right.
What the heck is joy? I'll never have joy in my life again.
Right.
But for me, because I wanted to be there for my children and because I wanted to be there for my husband, I literally crawled and fought and did every possible thing I could to help me get out of the pit. I also focused on Satan. The first time in my life, I didn't really think about Satan much throughout my life, but in this pit, I thought, you know, he wants me here. Mm-hmm. And I think I could turn, interestingly enough, that anger mm-hmm. against him wanting me here, and also the role he played in the death of my son and my mother, I think, helped me to just get that energy to fight and fight and fight and fight. Now, I have to tell you, for my son, it took about 10 years to really get out of there. Now, and I also think I kind of try to fake it till you make it, because you don't want everyone to suffer with you. So there were times when, even though I was not feeling so well, I would smile and put on a good face that people would thought I was
happy. All good at that.
Yeah, the faking it thing. But I think it's sometimes I think that's a good thing in a way, in that you spare other people from suffering the grief. So it's you don't want to bury it.
Yeah.
But you also don't want everyone else to suffer with you. So for me, it was an intense 10-year journey of just, and at the same time, my husband was sick and he kept almost dying for about 13 years. So he would go from one horrible event to another, and there were at least 10
So you were
times.
A caretaker along with having to deal with all this other grief that was going on.
Yes. And Jim kept coming out of it. You know, he kept miraculously surviving. We say he had like 18 lives. We started counting them. So I was dealing with that as well. And then trying to just find my identity in Christ. What is my identity? Who am I? You know, I was a mother. Well, I'm not a mother anymore. And by the way, right after Eric died, a year later, I lost my ability to practice dentistry. I was a dentist, and I had a nerve damage in my drilling fingers. All of a sudden, I couldn't practice anymore. So I lost my identity as a mother. I lost my identity, my professional identity. And by the way, I was supposed to support the family because Jim was sick. So he was also a dentist. So I was like, whoa, now, you know. So I lost that identity. And my identity at that time was as a caretaker mostly. And then when Jim died, I lost that identity. So it's kind of reshaping your identity in Christ. Who are we in Christ? And I was just able for a very long time of heavy reading in the gospel and getting treated for depression, because I do have that, just helped me to find my way out. And after about 10 years after Eric died, the shroud that you have when you're grieving. Yeah. You just have the shroud that no matter where you are, you're walking around with this big shroud over you, and you can't see the world clearly because it's clouded.
Yep.
I saw that lifted. Having grandchildren helped, I will say that.
Yes.
I saw that lifted. So I could actually see them and really be 100% there. not all the time. I mean, anniversaries would come and then you'd go back down to the pit to a certain degree.
Yeah, there's good old anniversaries and birthdays and Facebook reminders and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, so I would get hit by that occasionally. Yep. But most of the time I could look clearly without the shroud and be joyful in the Lord and share that with my children.
Yeah.
And then Jim died.
Yeah.
You know, and then I went through it again, but not probably as deep because we had anticipated his death so many times. Eric's was just such a shock. My life was going
well,
one way,
is,
and then bam, like, just like with your son.
That's horrific to have to deal with that. Yeah.
Right. But Jim, I had been preparing for 13 years. So I went back into the pit, but not as deeply. And I knew where to look. I knew where to turn, and it was to God. And I've been just trying to focus on that and try to understand what does he want me to do. And he has our purpose pretty clear. And the purpose for me is the same as for everybody else. It's like, you don't, it doesn't matter what your, I had a really good resume as a dentist. I was a first woman president of the Minnesota Dental Association. I was a national spokesperson. I had some really big titles, you know, that people would look up to. That really doesn't mean much of anything.
Yeah.
My identity is through God. And what does he want me to do? He wants me to love God, first commandment, love people. And then thirdly, to glorify, you know, most importantly, to glorify him, actually.
Right.
So if I try to do that and do that the best I can, I will meet my ultimate goal of going to heaven and having God give me a high five and saying, good job, kid.
Right, right.
So, and trying to get all that in your head. I mean, we can have it in our head, but we have to get it into our heart. And that's a hard transition. But I do have it in my heart now, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Did you feel guilty for feeling joy?
Yes. Yes, that was that.
That's
that,
a hard one to overcome.
It's a real hard one. It was a hard one. And when you first go through this, you walk out of the door of the hospital or wherever you're at, and you see everyone living their lives and having fun, you know, buying groceries.
Yeah, it's like in a different world, isn't it?
It's a wholly different world. And you just want to scream at everyone, how can you be
happy?
My son is dead. My husband's dead. How can you possibly live like this? And again, it's been 15 years, actually, since Eric has died. And 3 years since my husband died. And I'm learning that I can enjoy Christmas with my children. Wow. We talk about Jim. In fact, I still, when I give gifts, I give them from Nana and Pop-Pop. I give them for both of us. So we honor Jim. We talk about Jim. And we talk about Eric. And my grandchildren know what happened to Eric, their Uncle Eric. And I do have moments where I slide. Mm-hmm. But the amazing thing, the most important accomplishment I've ever accomplished in my life was to really try to find my identity in Christ and try to get the joy of the Lord that passes, and the peace that passes all understanding, because it's hard to understand. How can you understand
that's
peace?
That's right. That's right.
Peace. And I was taught a lot of that
by
looking at the people in Rwanda who have overcome things
what
far
a wonderful,
more than we can do.
Yeah. What a wonderful picture that is of people that have overcome that. And I would implore people, If you're in a place right now and you're doing fine, please invest in your faith. Please learn about God. Please spend time with God, because when suffering strikes, what I found was I was able to do things and say things that I didn't really have the human capacity to do. And I remember on these occasions, all of the theology that I'd learned, all the things, many scriptures that I had forgotten that I knew, kind of floated to the surface. And I attribute that to how I knew God before it all happened. Mm-hmm. And I fear that there are many who are coasting, and then something's going to hit hard, and they're going to say, well, I don't know this God that would let this happen. So please, don't take your faith for granted. And I'm sure you felt the same way, because these things that you're talking about, the things that I've experienced, the things that people in Rwanda have experienced, and everybody experiences something, are life-changing. And I find that even though I'm not in that pit now, and like you know, sometimes it comes up, if I start to go into the pit, I just call a counselor. And I say, I need to see you for a while. But I also know that I'm not the same person.
Yes.
And I've come to grips with the fact that that's a good thing, because that's part of God's process, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, how have you experienced that?
I'm not at all the person that I was before, but I'm a person that understands my true identity. I'm not like the president or this or that. I'm not that stuff is worldly. The worldly definition of me is very different than the godly definition of me.
Yeah, you don't need that stuff anymore, right?
I don't need that stuff anymore. But I'm realizing one of the reasons I wrote the book, as we enter the fourth quarter of our lives, as some people call us, instead of millennials, we're perennials, we're still here.
Yeah.
As we enter that, our identity changes because, I just had a hip replaced. I'm independent, but, my children take care of me now and then when I need to have an operation or something. I'm facing all these things as we get older and we're more vulnerable. The scammers are calling us. We have how many phone calls do you get from scammers every day on your phone? We are a vulnerable population.
Yeah.
And we need to really turn to Christ more than ever to get our identity in him and to realize that we still have the capacity, no matter what we're, how sick we are, no matter what we're doing, we have the capacity to fulfill God's will for us, which is to love God, love people, and glorify him. We can do that no matter what. And if we realize that that's our main focus of our lives, it's so much easier to have that joy, to get that joy of the Lord.
And Satan wants to sideline you.
Oh, he does. He really does. Yeah. And fight him. I mean, just get any energy you have, the negative energy you have, just use to fight him off.
Right.
Because he's going to do whatever he can to push you right down in that pit, because you're not as useful to God in that pit.
The spiritual war is very real.
It's very real.
And he understands, Satan's a good observer. Mm-hmm. And so he and his friends, his demons, they can tell when you're struggling. They can tell when you're sliding into that pit. They can tell when you're arrogantly thinking that I can get through this on my own without God. And they will pounce, right?
Yes, they will.
So I think it's what you're saying is really important. And I think what you're touching on in the book that we didn't get a chance to really talk about today is all the different legacies you can leave. I would highly recommend that. How you can prepare others for your own death,
yes,
which is massively important in a culture where we don't like to even say the word someone's died. We say they've passed.
Yes.
We've lost.
Yes.
And we don't want to go anywhere near them in the funeral home because that would be too close to death. But in other cultures, they're carrying them around, and it's just a whole different thing. So anyway, the book is Are You Ready? How to Build a Legacy to Die For. Where can you get the book?
You can get the book at BarnesandNoble or .com or Amazon.com, and you just type in Are You Ready? How to Build a Legacy to Die For, and it'll pop right up.
Is there another book in the offing at some point?
Well, actually, I did write a widow's book, Naomi and the Widow's Club, which is a one-year devotional, weekly devotional for widows. And I'm writing a workbook to go along with that. We're working with a publisher to do a video series. It'll kind of go alongside maybe after you've done Grief Share and you would like something that's to help you a little bit longer.
Yeah.
We're doing one of those too. So I'm working
good
on that
for you.
Now.
Good for you. That's all really, really helpful. I'm so glad you joined us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And sharing your story. Yeah. And again, we're sitting here talking about our stories. Your story is different. Everyone has something. No one is escaping the curse of sin. Sometimes it's more intense than at other times. But we both want you to know that we can only talk about these things with some kind of victory under our belts because of the power of Christ. And you cannot do this on your own. You may get, you'll make progress and you can learn to cope, but if you really want to have abundant life, if you really want to have joy, if you really want to know what it feels like to have a purpose to your life, even after loss, then that's where Christ comes in. So if you've never come to a place where you've given your life to Jesus and said, I want you to be the Lord of my life, maybe now's a good time to do that. Maybe you can just say, I'm tired of trying to run my life. I know that I can't do that. I believe that I have sin in me that needs to be forgiven. I believe, Jesus, that you came and you gave yourself on the cross. I believe that. And I believe that you rose again. And that's where victory comes from, because Jesus defeated the last enemy, the Bible says, which is death. And so today, all you would need to do is just say, I want to submit my life to you. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to be your child. And God will fill you with power and joy and an abundant life. Not overnight. not every minute of every day you're going to feel super happy and you're going to want to go out and dance like the people in Rwanda, but you will find a new purpose. So I really would recommend that you do that. And best of all, guess what? You will never die. And we've been talking a lot about death, but if you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible says you will never die. You will simply be in your eternal home with Christ forever. And that's a pretty awesome thing to think about. We're so glad that our partners are along with us on this journey. Faith Radio is at myfaithradio.com. They've been kind enough to give us this platform. Our podcast lives there, so you can find more episodes. You can find a video version of this podcast at fivestonemedia.com. And you can check us out at Ridgewood Church at myrwc.org. And thanks so much for listening to Life Support.
Life Support is a co-production of Five Stone Media and Ridgewood Church in Minnetonka, Minnesota.
Thanks for listening to this Life Support podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Life Support, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of Life Support.